I'm Dan Collins with a WUKY News in-depth report. It's estimated that the number of human beings that have ever lived is around 107 billion. It's also estimated that around half, about 52 billion, have died as a result of mosquito-borne illness. Climate scientists are predicting that places like central Kentucky will see higher than normal temperatures and increased rainfall as a result of climate change, creating an environment perfect for what's been called humankind's deadliest predator. To learn more about the effect of climate change on mosquito populations, I spoke with Dr. Nicholas Teets, assistant professor of entomology at the University of Kentucky.
My research specialty is how insects cope with extreme temperatures. So we typically work with how insects survive the winter, some of the underlying mechanisms that allow them to do that, and with the hopes of being able to better predict where particular insects can live, both in current conditions and then also in response to climate change. And so a lot of our, while we don't directly research climate change, a lot of our work is rooted in the idea that climate is going to have a major impact on where different insect species can survive.
I know that you're passionate about man-made climate change.
Yeah, it's definitely one of my passions. I mean, our research doesn't directly deal with it all the time, but as far as, it's one of my main teaching interests, so I designed a course on climate change that's taught here in the honors program, and so that's been a lot of fun working with students from all different disciplines and trying to help them understand what are some of the causes of climate change and what are some of the things that we can do about it. And then also with my teaching with entomology too, we try to work in aspects of climate change and things like that too.
Which brings me to the topic of our interview today. In his latest book, Timothy Weingard calls the mosquito our deadliest predator. Would you agree with that?
It's considered the deadliest animal on the planet. I wouldn't call it a predator because in true biological sense, it doesn't eat people. It feeds, it's a parasite. But yeah, the disease is spread by mosquitoes. It's also a little bit misleading to call mosquitoes deadly, in my opinion, because they're vectoring diseases that kill us. But these diseases do depend on mosquitoes. They're required. So malaria, I forget the latest figures, but it's at least, I think, 500,000 deaths per year. So some of the deadliest germ-borne diseases in the world are transmitted by mosquitoes.
Why are mosquitoes such good carriers of these diseases?
Most mosquitoes, there are some exceptions, but most mosquitoes require blood meals to reproduce. So the females are the only ones that bite, so the male mosquitoes don't feed at all. And the females have mouth parts that are specialized for feeding on blood. And so what happens when they do this is they'll pick up pathogens from one person and then they'll go bite another person. Or a lot of times they're moving diseases in some cases between animals and humans as well. So it's not always just human to human, it can be animal to human. And this is because of the fact that they have to take a blood meal. When they take a blood meal, they inject saliva into you that helps prevent the blood from clotting, and then they slurp up that blood, and so they're easily able to pick up pathogens and then move them somewhere else. And then there's also been a lot of coevolution between mosquitoes and the parasites that they transmit to. So over thousands and millions of years of evolution, the parasites have come to rely on the mosquitoes as part of their transition cycle. And this is particularly the case for malaria, where it's a protozoan parasite that is part of its life cycle is spent inside the mosquito, and then it will move from the mosquito's gut into the mosquito's saliva, and then it'll get put into the person. And so it's a real essential part of that. The parasite can't be transmitted without the help of mosquitoes.
One of the ways humans have promoted the intercontinental spread of different mosquito species is through migration, urbanization, global trade. Another way, which is yet to fully mature, is man-made climate change. Mm-hmm. Can you give me a broad overview of the effects of rapid global warming on mosquito populations?
I don't think there's a solid answer on what's going to happen, but what is very clear from what the research that has been done is that climate change is potentially facilitating the spread of mosquitoes into new areas. Not all mosquitoes are like this, but many of the major disease-transmitting mosquitoes, so for example, the malaria mosquitoes, the yellow fever mosquitoes, they thrive in warm climates, and this is why if you look at a map of the world and where malaria is found, it's almost exclusively near the equator. And so as our climate warms, it's opening up new potential habitats for mosquitoes to move into. And it's both related to temperature, but also related to rainfall patterns. Many mosquito species rely on temporary pools of water for reproduction. And so places like Kentucky, here in the eastern half of the United States, we're predicted to get more precipitation as a result of climate change, and so that's going to potentially open up new mosquito habitats. A recent example of that is the catastrophic flooding they had in Nebraska recently. They had some mosquito outbreaks that were tied to that because it's opening up new water habitats for the mosquitoes. And so that's the interaction there between temperature and precipitation, and how climate change is going to impact that will potentially open up new locations for mosquitoes. One of the primary biting mosquitoes we have in Kentucky now, the Asian tiger mosquito, it's an invasive species from Southeast Asia. It came to the United States on a shipment of used tires, and the water that had collected in the tires was full of mosquito larvae, came in through the Gulf of Mexico, and the mosquitoes got out, and then they've spread across most of the eastern United States by this point. And if you look at the history of disease vector control in the United States, the most effective way to eliminate vectors from an area is habitat modification. We had a big yellow fever problem in the United States. I think it was in the 1800s, and in Philadelphia, for example, had a huge outbreak that killed lots of people. And the main way that they got rid of that was by eliminating wetland habitats, which in turn wasn't great for the environment in its own sense, but that was the number one way to control mosquitoes. You can kill them with pesticides, but it's really hard to locate mosquitoes sometimes because they do take advantage of these little tiny temporary water habitats. So the best way to control mosquitoes is to typically just remove their habitat. And this is why it's a challenge in less developed nations like Africa, where they don't have the money and the infrastructure to fill in ditches or modify the habitat to prevent these mosquito pools from forming.
So at the policy level, what do you think can be done to control the spread of mosquito-borne illness as a result of climate change?
I think one thing that's urgently needed in a lot of areas is just better monitoring and surveillance. One of the things that came out of the recent Zika virus scare was that a lot of places did start investing more into surveillance programs. The state of Kentucky has a vector surveillance program. It's, again, not very big or particularly well-funded, but it's there, and it helps identify mosquitoes. It also will screen mosquitoes that might be carrying diseases. And so I think that's really critical. And I think as a country, we actually did a pretty good job with the Zika virus because it was predicted that it could have reached sort of outbreak levels. But the CDC invested money in it. They were on top of it. And then that helped sort of keep the disease down before it got to the level where it would lead to rapid transmission. And the same thing is sort of true with like West Nile virus. We've had some scares with West Nile, but because we've been able to surveil and detect those, that's helped keep it in check. But again, with climate change, we're going to be having increased pressure from these mosquitoes. So I think increased investment into both surveillance and research is going to be critical.
Is the mosquito an animal that will thrive in a global ecosystem that's been devastated by climate change?
I think it's going to be region specific. Places that are going to get warmer and wetter are going to have increased mosquito pressure, but then places that are going to become more susceptible to droughts may have less mosquito pressure. But overall, it's predicted that we'll have increased mosquito pressure, primarily due to warmer winters as well. Many of the mosquitoes that carry diseases are limited by their ability to survive the winter. The summer conditions in Kentucky are perfect for many mosquitoes, but they can't survive the winter here. But there are certain species that, especially ones that are more dependent on humans in urban areas, that are going to be less affected by that. Because again, mosquitoes only need humans as a host, so humans aren't going anywhere. For a lot of other insects that depend on plants, it's going to be more challenging with climate change because a lot of the natural things that they eat or depend on are going to be going away. But mosquitoes are pretty well adapted to thrive wherever there are humans.
Concerning man-made climate change and vector-borne diseases, how concerned are you about the likelihood of new and/or mutating arboviruses?
Things like the Zika virus that was part of the 24-hour news cycle for weeks at a time, I mean, that's incidents like that are going to become more common as both in response to climate change, but also just as we increase international travel, increased international trade, and human populations getting larger, we're going to have more of those sorts of things popping up. I'm optimistic that we're, especially here in the United States, we're well equipped to deal with things like that because we do have, relative to the rest of the world, I mean, we can always do better, but I think we have pretty good vector surveillance and pretty good public health infrastructure for sort of squashing out some of these diseases. But that's not to say that there couldn't be a new disease that is a more difficult to control. I mean, we were really worried about Zika. It's still something that we're cautious about. I mean, women who are pregnant still are not advised to travel to tropical locations, for example. But at the same time, it never really quite reached the outbreak proportions that it was expected to. So I'm optimistic that we have a system in place, but that doesn't, I still think we need to keep investing into science and surveillance and keep an eye on these things.
What about the other parts of the world that maybe aren't so well equipped?
Yeah, and that's sort of the sad reality, is that a lot of with things like malaria, for example, it's predominantly in developing countries near the equator because they don't have the infrastructure. And so there is a lot of international investment into anti-malaria programs. The Gates Foundation, one of their primary missions is thwarting malaria. But again, these populations in these parts of the world are getting larger. The disease pressure in these places might increase. And so I think that is definitely an area where we could use more investment, is some of this international public health investments that are needed.
What can individuals do, the local policy, if you will, to mitigate the growth and the impact of mosquito populations?
Making sure your property is free of mosquito habitats. You know, there is a lot of debate and controversy over sort of large urban mosquito control projects that involve the use of insecticides, because again, a lot of these insecticides are problematic for pollinators and other beneficial insects as well. So, I mean, my personal recommendation would be don't necessarily spray for mosquitoes unless we have some sort of disease outbreak where it's necessary for health reasons. Mosquitoes are a nuisance. Nobody likes to get bitten by them, but a lot of the broad spectrum insecticides that we often need spray on our properties to control them can harm a lot of other insects as well. So I think habitat modification of your property is probably the best thing we can do. And then I think I would just recommend people to support government policies that are in terms of surveillance programs and research and continued investment into studying mosquito-borne diseases.
Dr. Nicholas Teets, Assistant Professor of Entomology at the University of Kentucky, thanks for speaking with me.
You're welcome. My pleasure.